But it's an additive feature, or so they've said.
Yes, so's gonorrhea. So's chlamydia. Fucking so's genital warts. They're an additive feature to your penis. That doesn't make it so you want them. Hello, everybody, and welcome to WCCF Tech. And we're going to just jump into it today. Because Francesco is melting in the what sounds like the hottest place on earth at the moment.
Yeah.
And Alessio is just a bit further north than that, so he's not the hottest place on earth.
Help.
No.
Help.
No. So we're going to be talking just a lot about, well, Final Fantasy. In fact, we're talking about two things that interest me. So Final Fantasy, obviously, I've reviewed the last one. I've played all the Final Fantasies. Been playing it for forever. It was one of the things that got me into gaming properly. And then we'll be talking about Creative Assembly. Maybe something else after that. We will see. We'll see how the time goes. But yeah, a few things around Final Fantasy and Square Enix. So the first one is that Final Fantasy 16 is not going to be an open world game, which, you know, I don't really have a massive issue about. But let's see what you've got. Tell us about the story first, Alessio, and then we'll have a talk.
Yeah, so basically we had a ton of info on Final Fantasy 16 this week because producer Naoki Yoshida, whom you have interviewed, I think, a few times now.
I like him. Nice work. He's fun.
So he basically gave a few interviews on the new game and, you know, he said some interesting things. And to begin with, he confirmed that the game will not be an open world game. That is to say, basically, that it will be an area based game. That's what he said, at least, because you know, the story itself spans the entire globe of the world where Final Fantasy 16 takes place. And that, as such, they decided to basically avoid an open world design that would basically limit them to a single open world space. So, you know, their reasoning was to focus on an area-based game design that could give players more of a feel of a truly global scale. So basically what I took away from this is that they are planning to have some kind of globe-trotting adventure. And in order to make that feel more real, they're going to have to, you know, do a lot of moving between locations far and wide, which wouldn't necessarily fit with a seamless open world, that is to say. Although, I mean, technically, you could certainly do a huge, seamless open world and still do a roaming adventure, right?
I think the difficulty, obviously, is if you're wanting to have a guided story, then, yeah, the open world obviously leaves it for people to just piss off and do whatever they want and ignore the story for ages.
You know, there's also a problem of scale. It's difficult to make a glow an open world map that is as big as a world is supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think they're going with the Xenoblade Chronicles route. They're having multiple open areas and they're not really connected. They're connected with a map, and that because that works for scale and, you know, and for a guided story, like you said.
I mean, the weird thing is, it's like you look at the old Final Fantasy games where, I mean, technically, did they have an open? No, they didn't have an open world. But it's like you had the world map where you could wander around on the world map, but then you went into the areas by you know, going on to, well, just popping into Calm Town on Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Was that VII?
Wasn't really open.
No. So, I don't think they'll do that, though, honestly. I think that's now a relic of the past. My impression is they're probably going to go along the lines of, like, Final Fantasy X. Or maybe mix Final Fantasy X up with a bit of, like, Metroid sort of style.
To be honest, Final Fantasy X was very linear, the world design.
It was basically
a corridor like Final Fantasy XIII, only that Final Fantasy XIII gets all the shit. But they're not that different.
Well, I think the reason why is because Final Fantasy X had a good story and good characters.
Yeah, that's
whereas
true.
13 that's was just, even as a fan, and I bought 13 the day it came out, I played it, I completed it, and yeah, the story was the fact you had to read like the Bible just to understand half of what the story
is. Yeah, the lore was a little confused. Yeah,
you know, a little,
a little.
But I mean, the thing is, the previous installment was of course open world, so it is in a way going back to what players were last used to. And I'm wondering how they will take it. You know, is it going to be felt as a kind of a downgrade, or I don't
know. You know, I think that influenced their choices a lot. Final Fantasy 15, because in another interview, it was only with a Japanese website, Yoshida said that he feels that the original Final Fantasy 14 and Final Fantasy 15 have impacted the reputation of the series a lot, and I think he meant negatively, because he probably felt like that the open world design wasn't really working, and I kind of agree with him if that's the case, because it wasn't really working. It really didn't add anything to the story. I prefer the second half of the game that's linear. I don't think it added that much. It was, you know, you do the open world, so you can do a lot of side stuff, but there wasn't much of it.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
They were just,
one.
Yeah, this is nice to look at. This is nice to look at.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It is a weird one, I suppose. I mean, 14 is hard to really link that when it comes to world, because it's an MMO. The content was the issue with 14. 15, I mean, I didn't think it was badly received in reality. In fact, the thing that got the most slander, the most issues, was part of the linear towards the end of the game, which they had to pretty much redo the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it's also the fact that it was incomplete. Well,
that too. That never helps, but yeah. But I don't think it got that much of a slating, 15. It was well-reviewed and it sold well, so I don't think it damaged the reputation half as badly as 13
did. In this interview, it did not say how it had an impact. This is my interpretation.
Okay, fair enough.
He really did not say. He just said they have had an impact.
Spot. Yeah, yeah.
And
okay.
Then he specifically talked about Final Fantasy 15 being felt like an incomplete game, which is true, you know, for the linear part. Now that you say that, because it just felt rushed.
Yeah, towards the end, that's where it really fell apart. I don't know. The future direction of Final Fantasy is always going to be up in the air. I mean, I enjoyed 10, despite the fact that it was very linear. And that's probably because, again, it had great characters, it had great stories, and it had really enjoyable side stuff. I mean, I still say, and I will still argue, that they need to release a Blitzball game.
Yeah.
They need to do it.
There was that monster breeding stuff. It really never ended. It was like an arena. I don't remember what.
I'm going to say they only had one really big open area towards the end. And I mean, it wasn't that open. It is where you say the breeding of monsters and such. But
But, you know. No, just Just wanted to say that Final Fantasy X was released for the PlayStation 2. I mean, we are now at PlayStation 5. That is
yeah,
to
but
say,
game design doesn't need to change.
No, I was thinking the funny thing is that after Final Fantasy X, which was linear, they came out with the most open Final Fantasy ever. That's 12.
And 12 was good. 12 was better.
That was the most. It's still the most open-ended Final Fantasy they've made outside of the MMOs.
And 12 was well received. So it's a weird one.
Personally, I think it's fine if they don't have a fully seamless open world. But, you know, as Francesco said earlier, the areas need to feel big. They need to feel expansive and something that you can explore. Because I think that's, if it was too linear, then as a role-playing game in 2023, actually, so about a year from now, I don't think it would be taken too well.
No, yeah. Again, they could go the 12 route, but I could be completely out of there, but the idea I'm sort of thinking is they may end up trying the sort of like Metro Exodus route where they've just got, you know, multiple big areas with a few linear things in between them.
Yeah, it's like the Xenoblade series. That's what they do. They have bigger areas, and in the first one they were connecting. In the second one, you just access them with the map.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's the thing.
I mean, Chris, if you've played a lot of Elder Scrolls Online, for example,
yeah,
and you know that game, you know it's not technically seamless in that
no.
Between areas you always have loading, but the areas are big enough and open enough that it doesn't feel that way when you're playing it.
Yeah.
So that's hopefully where they are going with.
I get the feeling it may be a little. The areas will probably be smaller than such as that, and there might be a few sort of corridory style things in the way, because even the old Final Fantasies, again, you look at 7 and 9, well, any of them, 7, 8, 9, you always had like the little sort of dungeony things or paths or mountain paths or wherever, where you travelled somewhere and then it would block off part. You'd have to go to a linear area, because it does help with driving story beats that way. It's going to be interesting. I've got no issues with them not going open world, because open world, I've been saying for a long time, it can really feel overdone. Again, how many times have I criticised Ubisoft games because they've gone open world just for the sake of being open world?
No.
Give me a good driven story with good characters. And don't get me wrong, it's a Final Fantasy game, so I do expect and I do pretty much demand the ability to go back to old places and, you know, explore them with that new, with your increased level,
Black
find
Dragon.
Secrets, and also bring back Blitzball. And Tetramaster,
you know,
from 8.
You know, there have been rumors for so many years that there is a third Final Fantasy X, there was a third Final Fantasy X. A second sequel,
I even enjoyed X 2.
Yeah, I did too.
Riku in a
thumbnail,
God knows what.
Yeah, it was stupid fun, you know. You weren't supposed to take it too seriously. And it has a great combat system.
So considering I can still remember the two main songs, word for word.
Yeah.
What can I do for you in 1,000 words?
Yeah. Yeah, that was stupid fun, and that was
and the Blitzball like style football manager game was fun as well. Bring back Blitzball, bring back Tetramaster. Can't think of other mini games I loved.
Okay, but you know, one thing they are not bringing back with 16 is also the turn-based combat, which is another interesting comment that Yoshida made. So it basically explained it away with we set out to do the most realistic game from a graphics standpoint we could, and that doesn't jive well anymore as we, you know, go deeper into realistic graphics with turn-based combat. So it basically said it creates kind of a jarring feeling for many users, and that's one of the reasons they decided to go with action-based combat only.
Debatable.
So that's it's an interesting one.
I know he's not saying that he's not got a thing against the system of turn-based combat itself, but I have to disagree that I don't think that just because something looks realistic now that you can't have turn-based combat. It's all about having the gameplay built around that turn-based combat and have it work in the game and the narrative and have it work in the game. There's no reason why turn-based combat can't work, which, in fact, one of the first comments we got on the site, which just mentioned the game that I'm thinking of, Yakuza. That managed turn-based combat pretty damn well. People didn't like the idea of it at first, and it certainly worked.
You know, I still think it has some issues in the context of Yakuza. It really slows down the game.
Yeah, I do understand that. I'm going to say turn-based combat is always going to be slower, and it can do that. But I do think that if it's done right, it can, it can work. And it's there for it. It's been a key feature in games for decades.
Yeah, but it's like a vestige from the past. They did turn-based combat because consoles and computers back in the 80s were not powerful enough to do real time.
Oh no, but they could.
To be honest, I've loved turn-based combat for years, but now I'm tired of it. It's just too slow. Unless it's a tactical RPG.
Different. I mean, I feel like turn-based combat still very much has a place, but it's really mostly when you're doing an isometric game, that way you like you said, it feels more tactical, like you are watching from the top of a tabletop or whatever. So it's more in sync with what's happening on screen. When you are, in a hyper-realistic 3D game, fully immersed, and you're standing still, and you basically cannot fire a weapon until the next turn, it feels a bit weird.
I understand. Yeah, I do understand.
It's disconnected.
That,
but... Like it feels, you feel a disconnect between the world and what you're doing. It feels weird, to be honest.
I don't. I just have to disagree. I do think that it's... I know it was... That's why it started, but you've had action RPG-style combat long before Final Fantasy's gone action, and other games have gone action, then gone back turn-based, and, it does work, and... I don't know. As long as it fits in the story, and I've got no issue with it. I've got no issue with action-based combat either. But I do think that to say that it doesn't work because of, realistic visuals and whatnot, I think that's very, very narrow-minded.
It didn't say it doesn't work. Of course, you can make it work mechanically. There's no reason it doesn't work mechanically. He said that people, at least some of the gamers are growing out of it. More realistic. So that's his point. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just that. Wait, I'm going to say I just quickly reading it now that he says that as graphics and characters become more realistic and more photoreal, the combination of realism with the unreal turn-based combat doesn't really fit together, which, again, I have to disagree because it's how, as a designer and a developer, you can make them fit together. I understand where it's coming from, and I do to an extent agree with it, but I do think the style of game determines it more than anything. And being an RPG, it's a fundamental. And there's obviously the different types of your turn-based or your different slower combats, your ATB, your ATV, FTL.
I mean, FTL. I think definitely the one style that I wouldn't really recommend for a 3D game, but really in general is is the, you know, old school thing where basically the characters are rooted in place, then you do the attack, they go over there, and then they go back to the where they were. Mm. I think that's really, really, really outdated now.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I mean, I just always think back to, like, you know, again, they weren't realistic visuals, but Star Ocean had that sort of mixture of turn-based where you could only you could move around the area in the battle area, but you couldn't attack until your gauge had filled up.
Well, it's not Star Ocean. This is not Star Ocean.
No, but to be fair, he's not. Yeah, he's not.
Yeah,
out
you
of
probably
the...
think. Yeah, you're probably thinking about another game because Star Ocean was full action and you only had the action paused only when they were using spells. But in the first two games, from the third one on, it was full action.
I was gonna say, I'm sure there was one way
you're probably thinking about
gauge.
Another game.
I don't know. I played too many games. Oh dear. I still think there's a place, and there is still a place. And again, I suppose it depends, but I just don't think the, you know, saying that turn-based can't work because of hyper-realistic visuals, because they don't...
You know,
together.
Sorry, I think you were thinking about the original Secret of Mana.
I don't
It had, you know, because it was action, you could move, but there was a bar that every time you attacked, it had to refill. Otherwise, if you attacked before it was full, you would get a weak attack.
Possibly.
That was something that... And you had the pause for with the menus to select spells. You probably were thinking about that.
Mm. I'm trying to now remember what Till the End of Time's battle system was. That's too many games.
Yeah, that was a complex system. You had, like, the gut system that when it was full and the enemy attacked you, you would reflect damage back.
That I was going to say, I know there was a... Yeah.
But yeah, it was still action, and you know, that wasn't...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do remember, I'm sure, just we are veering off, but I'm sure with Till the End of Time, you had sort of an action bar, which when it built up, filled up, that's when your character attacked.
I don't remember it, but I'm pretty sure it isn't, because I played that game so many times.
So did I.
Okay.
we may both be wrong. It could have been a first person shooter now for all we remember.
Yeah, you know that, like you said, so many games, so many Japanese RPGs, and they all many try to do things.
JRPGs tend to have, like, overly complicated combat systems sometimes.
Yeah, unless it's Dragon Quest, in that case you get classic turn based and that's it.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But let's move on to a topic that I'm definitely not going to like then. Another Final Fantasy thing, but fucking blockchain.
The good news is that they aren't ready to at least do MFTs in Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy yet. The bad news is that they still want to do some story-focused MFTs, but I don't know how or why, but...
You're going to have them trying to sell that... an NFT image of the scene where Sephiroth walks through the fire, or where you've got Cloud and Tifa sat on... In the original Final Fantasy, I'm not even the remake... Cloud and Tifa sat on the water tower in Midgard and having that conversation. Or you can have an NFT where Barrett's going, fuck Shinra. And I don't know. He's just, fuck off with your NFTs. Just fuck off and die.
I don't think they're going anywhere, though, sadly enough. There was another announcement this week, since we are on the NFT topic. Basically, two former Sony developers, John Garvin from Sony Band and Michael Mumbauer from Sony Visual Arts, they are making another a new game after they have established a new studio. And this game sounds kind of cool in that it is perhaps a spiritual successor to Days Gone. I mean, it doesn't have the zombies from the look of it, but it's still set in the Pacific Northwest, you know, open world game, kind of after huge consequences of global warming. So there are crazy storms, fires, flood, and even something supernatural. I don't know. It mentions some kind of energy pockets that players can reach.
How far in the future is this set?
Well, they've said hundreds of years, so
yeah. Oh yeah, this is the one I saw the piss off saying, yeah, that's the only way they're going to get around the morons who say global warming isn't real. No, it's not real. Global warming is not real. Oh my god, this game says global warming. I'm going to boycott it until it comes out. That's no game boycott ever fucking works. Why are people idiots? And why is murder illegal?
Okay, we'll cut that one out, Chris. But
I'm not cutting that out. That's going on the recording. In fact, that's going at the start of the video.
Okay. Sure. But my point is that basically they said this is going to be incorporated into the Hedera network, which is a blockchain network that a lot of big companies are in. And they say it's basically the most, like low on energy consumption than any other blockchain network.
So it's still like going to burn the Amazon.
It's like 500 times less than Ethereum or something. Well, and anyway, they haven't given out much in the way of details, but they said basically you can buy and sell stuff. So I don't know. I'm guessing you basically can maybe even sell game items for blockchain currency or something. I don't know. Kind of an in-game market based on blockchain.
I take it back, morons. Boycott the game.
I don't know. I
haven't got time for that. All this shite, because yes, blockchain's a good technology, but I don't care. They may say that it uses 500 times less energy, but until you see the actual, anybody can say anything. Like Bobby Kotick can say he's not an evil son of Satan. We know that's not true, but and like Yves Guillemot may say he doesn't defend rapists, but well, he has. So people can say what they want until the facts are in front of me. I don't believe that this. I can't even remember what the blockchain was called. What it was called was, but until that, you know, until the fact that this blockchain you mentioned, unicorn piss, is somehow 500 times less energy damaging than the others. What's that?
Yeah, whatever.
I'll just keep calling it unicorn piss. So until unicorn piss is proven to be 500 times less damaging, I'm going to just say fuck it. I am not going for any. You cannot. I don't. There's such a massive disconnect in people's brain when they're using a technology that is causing so much damage to the environment and making a game that's criticizing and after the damage to the environment. Are you trying to make a self-fulfilling fucking prophecy here?
Yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing they might have had some funding from this network, blockchain network, to get off the studio. Perhaps I don't. You know, they're saying wait and see until we show the game. The game is front and center and stuff like that. But we'll see.
I've said my thoughts on it. Until I've seen the evidence that unicorn piss is somehow not as damaging, I don't care if the game shits gold bricks. I do not care. Not for Chris. Definitely not for Chris. And you know how much of a stubborn bastard I am.
Yeah. We do.
So,
but Yeah, on a happier note, do you want to talk about Creative Assembly, Chris?
Yeah, so... Well, we again, we all know how much I love Creative Assembly. They're arguably the best strategy game developer ever. Yeah, they've made their mistakes with Total War, but they always fix them. And, you know, on top of that, they made the excellent Alien Isolation. And, you know, who would have thought that Creative Assembly, the game, their strategy people, could make such a good horror game? Yeah, again, it had its issues, but it was still excellent. So, them saying that they were going into a new IP, I'm like, okay. And it wasn't going to be strategy. I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a go. It's, you know, it's Creative Assembly. They massively succeeded with Alien Isolation after the absolute shit that Gearbox pretended to shit out because they just outsourced that. So this is Hyenas. I mean...
Yeah.
We
knew that they were making a sci-fi IP for a long time.
Yeah.
I think most people thought it would be some kind of, like you said, Alien Isolation, even if not in the license, at least in spirit, some kind of spiritual successor, but yeah. It's really not it. It's a very different game, and I don't know. It wasn't the kind of reveal that I was hoping for, personally. I mean, I guess it could be interesting, but.
I suppose right now it's gone. Sorry.
Oh, just saying that there's quite a bit of games that do those kind of things. So it's basically a mix of PvE and PvP. So you go in, you grab some artifacts, I think, because the backstory is that basically all the rich people went and colonized Mars, I think, and left the poor people on Earth. And so basically these hyenas are just going to in orbit to basically steal their priceless artifacts from all the Earth in their raids or something. But like I said, it's not that much of a new concept anymore. There are quite a few games right now that are doing it. For example, there is a game called Marauders, which is essentially the same. You do raids in space and grab things and then you leave if you can. Of course, it's still a bit derived from the escape route from Tarkov mode, you know, where you go in. You don't know exactly if you're fighting enemies that are NPCs or player characters. And so it's an interesting concept by itself, and we have to see, you know, their execution. It could be excellent for all we know, but and also the art style, honestly, it's not exactly my gem, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's a bit I don't know, it feels a bit like Babylon's Falls at first. Well, not quite the same, but very much kind of a drawing with pencils. I don't know.
I suppose it's a weird one. It is going to be very different, and again, like you say, it's a games type that others have done. It seems like it's a mixture of half a dozen bloody games which have been popular, so. I don't know. It's Creative Assembly, so I am, you know, bound by honor to play it and give it a go.
Did you make a blood oath with them?
I think I just made a whiskey oath.
Because you're bound by honor to play their games.
Well, until they fuck up as a developer. I'm a firm believer in if a developer shows that they're really good quality, you know, they're top quality, they actually care about their players, And again, I know they're good with staff. I'm the sort of person who I want to reward those developers. And, you know, if that's just me trying playing their game and giving that fair shot, then I will do that. And Creative Assembly are one of those developers where, I mean, they messed up with older games and they lost a bit of goodwill around the Rome 2 Total War, Rome 2. But they came back with the Emperor Edition, massive free update, and again, they brought it back, and then they got back to making games great again. So, you know,
They also released the Immortal Empires map this week, I think, or at least they've
announced, yes. Oh. Yeah. That's going to kill me, that map. Actually going to kill me. It's so big.
So basically, it has all of the faction from all of the three Total War Warhammer games, right? I think.
Yeah. Well, I think there's like 5 billion factions.
I think 500. So yeah.
500, 5 billion, not too dissimilar. Yeah, it's such a massive. It's the biggest map. I don't think there is. I mean, you can say there's like world maps because other things are planets. They're bigger, but there is no bigger map ever, sort of thing. As, you know, especially in strategy games, but I would say in any game, maybe like No Man's Sky. But, you know what I mean? It's such a massive thing that any sort of campaign is going to take weeks to complete.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean... No, but you're right, of course. They are generally a capable developer, so it's worth taking a look at this new game, at least, when it comes out.
That's it. So. I will give it a go. And I would recommend everybody gives it a go, because it's great. Ow, me too. It's Creative Assembly.
They've got you in their pockets, don't they?
No. No, I've explained it. I have not been bribed at all. They can if they want to bribe me.
If you say it like that, it sounds the opposite.
No. I am completely honest. I'm completely honest. I am available for bribes if you want, Creative Assembly. But to be fair, I don't think you need to at the moment. I've said all that off my back. What's the point in bribing someone who you've already won over?
Yeah, it's a bad investment.
That's a shit investment.
Yeah.
when you fuck up, that's when you need to bribe me back.
Right. Let's end with a bit of a rant from Chris. Well, there's some news around Halo, the Master Chief Collection.
Oh, fuck off!
They are adding. Microtransaction to the game, and this is like years after it launched, so I don't know the point. But yeah,
I don't understand it. Why, after getting so much goodwill, I just don't get it. They've had such goodwill from people. They've been releasing good games. I've even praised Microsoft. And now they want to add fucking microtransactions. And I don't even get to people. What are they even... What is he? Just fuck off. Just fuck off. What's the point? Why milk people? Does this mean that Game Pass isn't just not doing well enough, is it? Is that what it is? Game Pass isn't getting enough money, so you've got to milk the fuck out of people more.
Maybe it's Halo Infinite that is not doing so well.
And I didn't mind it. I wasn't going to play the multiplayer because, you know, I hate people. So why would I want to play with people? But it's just, no. I don't give a shit that they've got customization items. The fucking customization... Just let people earn them in-game. Not fucking microtransactions. Fuck off.
But it's an additive feature, or so they've said.
Yes, so's gonorrhea. So's chlamydia. Fucking so's... So's genital warts. They're an additive feature to your penis. That doesn't make it so you want them. I hope that rumor's wrong. Because I have to go back to disliking Microsoft if it's true. I suppose the problem is it makes it so any review I now do of a Microsoft game, when I've been reviewing most Microsoft games lately and I've been praising them, I now have to put a disclaimer saying they may decide to add microtransactions down the line, so be warned, they are cunts.
I mean, if they do, you can always go back and change the score like you did with GT7.
Yeah, I don't think I can go that far back, though. That's the problem. I don't mind changing a score within the week. As well, even within a couple of days, because obviously I didn't know those transactions were going to be there. Well, I had an idea. I knew there was a store, but I didn't know what it was going to cost or how it was going to be. And obviously they planned that. They made sure that reviewers didn't see that. But that doesn't stop me going back and retroactively. Yeah, but... Nah, I don't know. No microtransactions. Fuck off with it. Just no. Don't do it, Microsoft. You've been good. Do not become Ubisoft. Do not become child molesters.
Well, it will take them a long time to become Ubisoft, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. They start with microtransactions, then they just start stealing children and robbing them. Slippery slope. Okay. Slippery slope. Anyway, let's just have a quick run through of what we've been playing. In fact, my review's just gone up about half an hour ago of what I was playing. Starship Troopers Terran Command. Yeah, you know, I like Starship Troopers, so I enjoyed that. It was very much in theme with the films. It was missing like a Horde or Last Stand mode, because it's got 19 campaign missions, one tutorial and two side missions, and that's it. There is no replay value in the slightest. And it really, really, really needed a Last Stand mode. I would have played the shit out of that so much.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed it, despite its flaws.
Okay. So you killed a lot of bugs.
Oh, yes. Oh, I do like... And I ended up rewatching Starship Troopers because of it.
Yeah, that movie was kind of... You know, if it launched, recently, it would have become a meme, a living meme.
Oh, it would have been slated to fuck if it launched now. How about you, Francesco? What have you been playing?
I played the type of game that you like. Multiplayer games. Yeah, fighting games. Yeah, well, I played the Capcom Fighting Collection. I think it's basically the Darkstalkers collection with a few extra games like Hyper Street Fighter 2, the first time Red Earth released on PC and consoles, and then it has a puzzle game, actually. It's a fighting game collection with a puzzle game, that's puzzle Super Puzzle Fighters 2 Turbo. You know, they're basically the same games they've always been, so... The port is solid, and there are a few extra options. There's some interesting stuff, actually, that there are one-button special moves that I think they're good for newcomers, especially for some of these games that are a little obtuse because they're classic fighting games, so they're not meant to be accessible. I mean, they were not meant to be accessible in the first place. You know, that it's the one real issue, it doesn't have to do with the game, it's that there aren't many people playing online, at least on PC, so it's very difficult to find the game. But I managed to find 3, 4, maybe. And it's a shame because the netcode is very good. Okay. I was playing with somebody who clearly wasn't from Europe, from the screen name they had, and the games run very, very, very well. So hopefully this bodes well for Street Fighter 6. That's, you know, I've said that many times that Street Fighter 5 has been damaged greatly by that horrible netcode.
Yeah.
So this bodes well for Street Fighter 6.
Fair enough. How about and, you, Matthew?
Well, I've been playing. When is this going live? Tuesday.
Tuesday, 12:00.
Okay, so yeah, I can talk about it. Well, I've been playing the new Outriders expansion, World Slayer. Okay. So
good, bad.
Yeah, it's basically more of Outriders, which it's a good thing because the game is pretty fun. Although, I mean, it doesn't really address any of the shortcomings of the base game. It's just more of the same. And to be honest, it's not that much more of the same, at least in terms of campaign, because you can finish the new story bits in like 5 hours or maybe even less. But then you have a new sort of end game where you basically have to enter a whole big city, and you have you have 3 tries basically. So every time you fail, you're set back to the beginning, and there are also various areas in this city where you can go to get specific types of loot, like, I don't know, helmets or chests, stuff like that. There are also new skill trees, so there is more complexity to the builds. There are apocalyptic items, which are basically another tier of quality, and they basically add another mod to the weapon or gear type. So like I said, it's more Outriders. It's still very fun to play in the moment-to-moment gameplay, but it's very intense. But, you know, I wish there was a bit more teamwork or strategy put into it, into the endgame encounters especially, because they are pretty much, you know, kill everything that you can, and there's not just that much teamwork involved between the players who are playing in the group. So, you know, coming from a MMO background, I really like that part of the games, you know, MMORPGs, so where you are basically working together, kind of complementing each other's weaknesses. So Outriders does have that, but it's just only a tiny bit. And I think the game could have been a lot deeper if they went this way, but they didn't. So it's just mostly a shooter with some basic RPG elements thrown into the mix. And also, like I said, another issue I've always said with the game is that it's very, very linear. Like, the maps are really funneling you into the next goal, forward, always forward. And this expansion is no different, sadly. So,
more of
still
the same,
not
then.
Much. Yeah, still not much of an exploration. It's all just action. I mean, if you do like action and you do have a couple of friends to play with, then it could be very fun. But it's not going to last very long, I think, just like the base game. But, you know, if you are itching for a new game to play in co-op, then for a while you could be set.
I know why Francesco's laughing.
You know, you have to get on with the times.
I don't need to get on with the times. Fuck the times.
What are you talking about? If that's still your fear of people.
No, not fear. Hatred. Get it right.
You play against them. You can unleash
not
your
in Outriders.
Hatred.
Not in Outriders.
Well, in other, you know, in other multiplayer games.
Yeah, well, maybe so. Maybe so.
Well, you're anyway. Going to have to overcome it in Hyenas because it's a multiplayer only game.
I
so.
Know, I know. I will do it begrudgingly. But anyway,
so you will get on with the times.
I won't get on. I won't. No, I won't. I will do it very begrudgingly, and I will complain every second. But until that time, we'll leave it at that for now. Guys, everything from me anyway. For this week, I'm sure I'll moan about co-op next week.
Okay.
I think that's Cheers. Everything. So yeah. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the heat, Francesco. Set with the times,
dude. You live in England. You don't know what it means to be here.
I don't want to know.
Yeah,
you live there, so get with the times. Anyway, see you all in a bit. Bye.
Bye.